Awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited about, am I on, guys? No? Yes? No? Yes? No? No? Maybe. There you go. I think. So excited about things going on this week, man. Thank you, Tracy. Is Tracy in here right now? She's back in the children, I think. And so she's back in there with Lisa. But it's going to be a great week coming up with VBS. So you're going to be blessed by VBS. And pray for them. Let's believe for a great crowd of children here that can be ministered Jesus and his grace. It's going to be an awesome time. And I know there's a lot of churches around now. It used to be VBS was like, you know, one church in the area and everybody would come. But now there's a lot of churches that have it. But, you know, it's going to be great here. And so just pray for them and believe God for a great time. Amen. So let's stand this morning and turn to John chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. Stand this morning, if you will. John chapter 1, verse 12. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So we celebrate Pentecost. Amen. We celebrate the pouring out of the Spirit. And, you know, over in Acts, the Bible says that he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughter. Everybody say sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, man, they're going to prophesy. Man, it's just coming because I'm telling you, it's coming and it's here because of the revelation of grace. Grace has made everything, I mean, it's like the completion of everything. And it's just, it's the grace of God has opened up to so many hearts to turn and change towards the Lord. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. Look at John 1:12 and what Jesus told us. He said, but as many as received him, how many have received him today? Amen? I pray all of you have. If not, you can before you leave here, right? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, I think the King James says, the power to become children or sons of God to those who believe in his name. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and say it like you mean it. We like to say this every week. Say it with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around to somebody this morning and say, I am so glad I'm a child of God. Would you do that? Wow, praise the Lord. God is awesome. Amen. So you may be seated, and God is so good this morning, and I just believe you're going to receive a good word from the Lord this morning. You know, one of the privileges we have as believers, we have the great privilege of the Holy Spirit living in us. I mean, he lives in us. He's alive in us today. And not only that, we have the privilege of being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us, amen? And we are no longer slaves, but we now are called the sons and the daughters of God. God has adopted us into his family, amen? Look at Romans 8:14. I want you to look at this. We've been looking out of Romans because Romans is really about life in the Spirit. And as Paul goes down through this triumphant chapter of Romans 8, he talks to us a little bit here about what we have and who we are in Christ. He said, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the what? These are the sons of God. So if we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are a son, we are a child of God. We are no longer led by a carnal way of thinking, but we are led by the Spirit of God. We're no longer led. Remember we talked last week about a carnal way of thinking is not subject to the Word of God, not subject to the promises of God, but is contrary to everything God's provided for us. But the Spirit way of thinking is in relationship and positive to everything God's provided for us in the finished work. So the Spirit way of thinking is the grace way of thinking that we have all these things available to us as children of God in the Spirit to enjoy life to the fullest, till it overflows. Amen? So we are children of God, not led anymore by a carnal way of thinking, a way of thinking that's contrary to God's word and what we know as the revelation of God's grace and God's unconditional love towards us. We're no longer led that way, but now we're led by the Spirit of God, amen, into all the good things that God provided on the cross. He provided healing for us, so we're led into healing. We can walk in this life with divine health. Amen. We're led by protection. We know that we're protections. We've got God for us, Jesus in us, amen. God with us, Holy Spirit in us, angels all around us. So we're led in protection today, amen. Oh, praise God. So we have healing, we have protection, we have prosperity that God wants us to prosper. We're led into prosperity no matter what the economy is doing. Praise God. I mean, God wants to bless us in the middle of this thing going on right now so that the world can see us and say, wow, there's something different about you. Praise God. Amen. And so, listen, don't let these things concern you. Don't let them get on your mind and start bringing you down and looking at all this stuff, you know. Man, I mean, it will distract you if you're not careful in just a moment. So keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on who you are as a child of God. God is our provider, amen? He is our provider. God is our provider. The government is not our provider. God is our provider, amen? God can cause you to prosper even in the midst of a famine. God will cause you to prosper, amen? Come on, somebody. Praise. Come on, give him some praise this morning. He is good, hallelujah. So everything that's contrary, the carnal mind is everything that's contrary to all the promises of God. So Where is he leading us? Let me tell you where the Spirit leads us this morning, because this is Pentecost Sunday, so we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, and we're talking about who we are in Christ. Where does the Spirit lead us? Look it over to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Where does the Spirit lead us? Man, this is good. Good preaching, Pastor. I know. Praise God. It's good. Praise God. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who sometimes, once in a while, when I'm feeling just right, once a week on Sunday morning, no, who always, everybody say always. Always. What is he always doing? Leading us where? In triumph, not in despair, not in depression, not in defeat, not in going backwards, not in going backwards, not in going backwards, not going back somewhere there, amen? No, but he always leads us in triumph where? In Christ. In Christ, we are led into triumph. Grace leads you into victory because grace is above everything else that this world can name. Grace is a name, by the way. The name of grace is Jesus, praise God. Jesus and grace are synonymous. They're the same, praise the Lord. And everywhere grace leads us, everywhere the Spirit leads us, he leads us into victory. Not defeat, but victory. So if you're not being led into victory, it's not the Spirit. You know by the Spirit, we are led into victory in every area of our life. Why is that? It's because of God's grace upon us. Grace does not fail in your weakest moment. Oh. Grace is strong in your weakest moment. Grace is supplying in your weakest moment. Grace is right there for you in your weakest moment. Amen. Grace is there lifting you out of that place and refocusing you back on Jesus. And what does he do? And manifest through us, a sweet aroma. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a stinky Christian. Say, get some deodorant on, baby. Don't be a stinky Christian. Get some perfume. So what he's saying here, as we walk through this life, we should be smelling good. Now, that's just not on the natural sense. Thank God we do. Amen. Thank God for showers and all that good stuff, right? Amen. Thank God we do, but it's not talking about the natural. It's talking about the spiritual. As we go through life, we're giving off such an aroma of God's grace that others take a whiff of it and say, I want some of that. Amen? Man, I need some of that. How many of you ever smelled a good cologne on somebody? Anybody ever smell a good cologne on somebody? Say, man, what are you wearing? Anybody ever ask somebody that? What are you wearing? You know, some of us back in the 70s would say, brute. Some of you remember that, right? High karate. Anybody remember that one? Oh, Spice, that's going way back. Yep, sister, I won't give your age. Amen. Going way back. Amen. Man. But somebody gave me some cologne one time, and it smelled so good. And it was such a blessing. And I said, man, this is some good stuff, man. And I got a lot of compliments. Man, where'd you get that, man? That smells good. You know, just tell them the name. But here's what it is. As we go through life, we're not supposed to go through life sour, stinking thinking bad all the time. Come on, somebody. How do we go through life? We go through life triumphing in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our effort, but in Christ. And as we go through life, people see that and they say, I want some of that. Man, that smells good. That looks good. What is that? What you got on? What are you wearing, Jesus? I got a brand new cologne. It's called Jesus. He smells good all the time. In fact, he makes you look good when you don't even look good. Amen? He is that good of a God that when you're not even looking good, he makes you look good. Because the Holy Spirit's on you and in you, and it's attractive. Amen? Do you know the Spirit of God is attractive? The aromas of the knowledge of him in every place we go, when we have the knowledge of how good he is and who we are in Jesus Christ, there's just aroma, fragrance that goes out. You know, I've walked into places I could tell that people were believers. I walked into places and I could tell by their attitude right away that they were believers. Amen. I've walked into some places and I didn't know. Just saying. But I walked in and I said, man, there's something different about you. I want to ask you something. Are you a believer? And first thing, yeah. Are you a believer? I said, yeah. I said, man, give me some fire, man. What's up? You know? And it's so great. But so many times, man, we walk around with this less than positive perspective in life. And when God's got everything on our side, the Bible says, as God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody can be against you. And if they are, so what? So what? God's for you. Don't forget who's for you. Turn to somebody and say, God is for you. In fact, he's not against you today. A lot of the world thinks God is against them all the time. That God's called this in my life, and God's called that in my life, and God let this happen, and God did this, and God did that, and God had nothing to do with it. Nothing. God is just good. And so you get that in your mind, you start thinking, man, God's good. God's good all the time. God's good. God's good all the time. Hey, God's good. God's good all the time. Oh, God's good. You start tripping. Right? Start tripping on Jesus, man. Some of you tripped on some stuff before, but ain't nothing like tripping on Jesus, right? Turn to somebody and say, Pastor's in rare form today. Turn to somebody and say, he's feeling it, man. Oh, man, I love this because I want you to get this, man. This is so good. Look at Romans 8:15. Let's go back there just a second. This is good. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. You've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear. You know, this is where so much of Christendom lives at. They're in so much fear that they do something wrong that they're out with God immediately. You know, if I think something wrong, if I do something wrong, and all of a sudden they're out with God. They're living by the big 10. God didn't want us living by the Big Ten. Jesus fulfilled the Big Ten because we couldn't do it. Amen. He came by it, but when you get that mindset, you drift right back into slavery. And you become a slave of trying to improve your life, trying to get a little bit better every day if you can, so that God can bless you. Well, see, Jesus already blessed you no matter what you do. Amen. The blessing's already there because he's died on the cross for you. Grace has covered that. You're already blessed. Amen. So he says, for he's not given us a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, because when you're under that, you're under uncertainty. Well, I wonder if I'm really saved. Well, in grace, you don't have to wonder any longer. It gives you the full assurance that you are. And the power of the Spirit living in you. Man, amen. But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Abba, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Man, there isn't a greater word. I know Father's Day is coming up, but there was no greater word in my life hardly than Daddy. When my girls would call me Daddy, it's like, oh, man, what you want? what you need, baby? What's going on? What can I bless you with? Amen? And we were looking at some old pictures. I was going to throw it up here today, but you wouldn't recognize me. So we were looking at some old pictures back when we first began ministry. And Kay was about, I don't know, 2 years old. And you know, she was just sitting there. And it was such a blessing. But I remember when they called Daddy. And here's what Paul's saying. We have such an intimate relationship with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross that we can actually call God Daddy. Man, when Kay or Elise or Krista, whenever they still call me Daddy, they'll call me Dad, you know, but when they call me Daddy still, it's like, doesn't matter, man. It's that special language. It's that special love language that God has provided for us. Because he doesn't want us living under fear. He wants us living in the family. Oh. And then look at verse 16. We looked at this last week a little bit. It says, for the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, with the Holy Spirit within us, that we are what? We are children of God. That is your position this morning in Christ. You're a child of God. You have such an intimate relationship with the Father, you can call him Daddy God. Daddy God, amen? That is awesome, amen? Because if you're living under the law, you become fearful. But when you're living under Jesus and under grace, you know about his love and not fear, amen? Many people emphasize being a Christian is being a disciple. A disciple is a student of God's word. And I think we should all be students of God's word, and especially the word of grace. Right? Y'all with me? Amen? But listen to me. Many people can be disciples, and there were disciples before there were Christians. Do you realize that? There were disciples before there were Christians. So there were followers of people, disciples, before there was Christians. In fact, Jesus' disciples were disciples before they were believers. Right? They were learning from the rabbi. They were a disciple. Amen? And after the book of Acts, in the epistle, disciple is not mentioned any longer. The Holy Spirit replaces the word disciple with the word sonship. Wow. Sonship triumphs discipleship. Oh, come on, somebody. It doesn't mean we stop learning as a son. You know, I wanted to learn everything my dad did. I didn't learn a lot because he passed away at 17 when I was 17 years old. I was in high school and my senior year of high school. And, man, there were so many times I wish I could have sat down with my dad and say, how do you do this? My dad was an excellent carpenter. And, you know, as a kid, I'd watch him build things, and it was just amazing to me. My father had a third grade education, and I found out he couldn't read or write. But he could build like crazy. Don't ask me how he did it. I don't know how he did it. He figured out some way, and he was a great builder. And I so longed to sit down and just ask my daddy, Dad, how did you do these things? But I didn't have the opportunity. But thank God, you know, I have a heavenly father. I was adopted in at 17. In fact, the year my dad passed away is the year I received Jesus. Thank God for a smart daddy that I have. His name is G-O-D. He is a good, good father. Amen. And he's been good to me. Praise God. A kid that quit high school three times in his senior year? Duh. Right? Man, God's been so faithful and so good. And we have such a good, good dad. Amen. And how much I would have learned from him. And God's the same way. God wants us to continue learning, not as a disciple, but as a son and a daughter. It is a different type of learning because a disciple, you know, he was kind of far away from the rabbi. He just kind of sat at his feet. But a son and daughter learns in the family. Amen? They can crawl up on daddy's lap and say, tell me all about it, daddy. Amen. It is a different type of learning. Look at 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. Look what Paul said and how Paul approached teaching. He said, you therefore, my disciple. No, what did he say? You therefore, my what? My son. I have sons in the ministry. I have people I would call sons in the ministry. Amen. Because I have that closeness with them. And I've been able to hopefully instruct and pour into their life. He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in what? In grace, that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in grace, my son. What a beautiful picture of a relationship of a spiritual father and a son. And that spiritual father imparting into his son. Right? And look at the next verse. And the things that you have heard from me, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. What you've seen in me, what I've taught you as a son, he said, commit those to others. Give those to others. Wow. Man, God, you are so good. Paul understood sonship. He wrote about sonship. He wrote in Romans 8 about sonship. I'm going to show you another verse here in just a moment. But I want you to look at Acts 11:26 this morning real quick. Let's turn there because I want you to see this. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year there they assembled in the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians. Where? In Antioch. You are divinely called. That's what the Bible says. The word they're called is a divine call. We are called to be Christians. We are called to be sons and daughters of God. Now, I want to go and look at a story. We looked at it several times, but I can't get off this morning looking at this story because, you know, when you talk about sonship, you've got to look at the prodigal, right? I mean, you got to go to the prodigal. Look at Luke 15:11. Let's go there for just a moment. Luke 15:11. You got your Bibles turned there, and listen to what Jesus speaking here. Jesus breaking down sonship to the disciples. This is Jesus pictured and showing us the love of the Father and the security we should have in Him. Then He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls before me. So he divided them his livelihood. You know, we have a good father that when we ask, he gives. He asks, he gives, right? And here was a son that was rebellion, but God still gave to him. What a picture of grace. What a picture of grace. God still gave to him, although he was rebelling. Man, that is a good, good God. And then not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country. Everybody say far. Far country. And there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Just wasted everything he had. Just everything the father gave him, he wasted it. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. right? Then he went and joined himself to a citizens of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed swine. Now, this is a Jewish lad here, and you know, Jewish people and pigs don't have a lot in common. Pastor Mack and pigs have a lot in common because I like laying hands on them and ordaining them into the ministry. Especially ribs. Man, there ain't nothing like good ribs. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, you just lay hands on them. You get a thick rib, put some good barbecue on that, lay hands on it, and ordain it into the ministry. It's sanctified. It's holy at that point because anything I eat is blessed, right? Amen, man. There is nothing like ribs, man. Nothing. Oh, come on, bacon, yeah. Bacon's good. Bacon smells good. I like bacon, but there's something about ribs, right? Or brisket, right? Well, brisket's a cow, but ribs, you know. Hey, I guess ribs can be cow too, but I like pork ribs. They're awesome. So here he is. Here he is, this Jewish lad. And look at what he said. Verse 16, and he said, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of the swine ate, and no one gave to him anything. That's how the world responds to when you're down, right? It's like, When you're up, they're all with you. When you're down, you're out. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many servants do I have in my father's house and have bread enough to spare? Bread enough to spare. Even the servants have bread enough to spare. And here's the son, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18 says, this is what I'm going to do. I will arise and go to my father's house and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. There's always bread in the father's house. There's always food in the father's house. You know what? We're the father's house gathered here this morning. So if you're hungry spiritually, and I think you've already taken a portion and eaten of it, but it's right here. There's bread here for you. Amen? Food here for you. Praise God. Soul food. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Soul food for you. Because you need it in your soul. Your spirit already has it, but your soul needs soul food, needs God's bread in your life. And I'll rise and go to my father's house and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And listen to what he said. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Just make me a slave. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Listen. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Oh, man. You know, that tells me that he was looking for him. Amen. He was looking out for him. Every day, I believe that he got up and was looking as far as he could look and say, is my father, is my son coming today? Is my son coming today? When he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, grace, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Whoa. Man, what a father this is. Right? Amen. And look at this. Look at the next verse. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. How many felt like that under the law? Anybody felt like that under the law? Man, this is God's picture of grace in our lives. Look what the father said. Amen. Man, when you've blown it, you feel like, I'm no longer worthy. But look what the father said to him. And the father said to the servants, bring the best robe. Put it on him. In other words, it is a robe of righteousness. Put it on him. Amen. So no matter how bad you might feel in your soul, I'm going to tell you, God's put a robe of righteousness on you. Hallelujah. That you can rejoice and be glad. Put a robe of righteousness. Put a robe on him. Put on a ring. A ring was a family signet. It signified the ring. They would take the ring and stamp papers with it, and they would signify their authority as a family member, that I'm part of this family because I've got the ring on. You've got a ring of authority in you this morning because you're a child and a son and daughter of God. You can tell the devil where to go. And sandals on his feet. Servants didn't wear sandals. Only sons wore sandals. It spoke of stability. It spoke of being a part of the family. It spoke about being on solid, firm ground. Amen? That's who we are. And I love this, man. And bring here the fatted calf. Bring here the fatted calf. And look at the next verse, 23. And bring here the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Jesus was that calf. He sacrificed for us. Amen? That we can eat and be merry. And then he said this, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be what? Merry. They're having a party. God doesn't mind if you party for him. Amen? Next verse. Let's go on down this kind of quicker this morning. Now his older son was in the field, right? What was his older son doing? He was working. It's amazing here because he said his older son, and the word son there in the Greek means a child. He had a childlike attitude. It's really interesting because he was the elder, and it should have been read differently, but he was acting like a child. And he was working in the field. He was working to please the Father. That's what the law does to you. When you're under the law, you work to please the Father. You don't rest in the Father's goodness. Y'all with me this morning? And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard what? Music and dancing. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, hey, what's going on, man? What's happening here? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Look what happened. But he was angry and would not go in. Man, is that just like some people, man? They're working and working and working and trying to get, and all of a sudden, you know, they just get angry. God didn't want you angry. God wants you partying with him. Amen? Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. His father pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, look what he said. Lo, these many years I've been serving you. He was acting like a slave instead of a son. He was acting like a slave to try to please his father instead of enjoying his sonship. You know, it's amazing sometimes we'll fall right back in to that slave mentality and won't fall into that sonship mentality because we think we got to work in order to please God when God's already pleased with you, not because of you, but because of Jesus. Amen and amen. So he said, I have never transgressed your commandment. What was he focused on, man? He was focused on the commandment. He was focused on working so hard to please the Father, right? And yet you never gave me a young goat. You didn't deserve one, dude. Amen. That I might make merry with my friends. But as soon, look at this, man. Now he starts pointing fingers. This is what religious people do at times. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. What's up, Doc? And he said to him, look at verse 31. And he said to him, son, notice what he called him. Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is what? You don't even have to work for it. Whoa. You don't even have to work for it. It's already been provided for you. But you've been acting like you've got, you know, to work for this thing. But it's already there for you. Amen. And it was that night that you should make merry and be glad. Look at the next verse. And it was right that you should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Man, that is so, so good. Amen. That's where God wants us to live at. God wants us to live in sonship. The prodigal son came home and found grace. Grace is always there for you, right? Amen. Look at Galatians 4, 6 through 7. Galatians 4, 6 through 7. Amen. Look what Paul said. Paul writing again here. And because you are sons, God has sent forth what? The Spirit. Same writing out of Romans 8. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son where? Into your hearts. Amen? Why does He do? He cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit wants us to cry out with Him, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. Amen? Therefore, look at the next verse. Therefore, find out what therefore is therefore. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Christ. Man, we've got a great inheritance to enjoy. We've got peace, we've got joy, we've got love, we've got all this stuff to enjoy. And man, so many people want to cop an attitude like the older brother. And the reason is because they're not sure that God's pleased with them. Well, I can tell you this morning, God's pleased with you because of Jesus, not because of you. Amen. Hallelujah. You are an heir this morning. Look at John 6, 65 through 69 real quick. Hallelujah. John 6, 65 through 69. And he said, therefore I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. No one can come to Jesus unless it's been granted, right? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him how? Walked with him how? Walked with him no more. One can be a disciple and a student and not be saved. Not have a revelation of everything God has for them. There are people that studied the Word for years and years and years and not have a revelation of God's grace. Not have a revelation that God loves them. And look what happened. A disciple can walk away. A son and daughter can never walk away. You can walk away, but you're always in God's hands. Amen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked away. Then Jesus said to the 12, hey, you all go away? Simon Peter, I love this revelation. Simon Peter has some good things to say at times. Catch it. Amen. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Wow. And look what he says. Next verse. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you have a revelation of who Jesus is and who you are in Christ, it's all good, baby. It's all good. You got it. You got it going on because you know who Jesus is. And man, it's all good. Let's stand this morning. Come on, give God some praise today. Come on, give me some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give me some praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you raise your hands this morning? We're going to make some confessions today, right? Come on. Say, I am a child of God. That's who I am. I am a son and a daughter of God. Thank you, Lord. I know who I am today. I've been engrafted, adopted into the family of God. Therefore, I call God Daddy. Thank you for being a good daddy, a dad that provides for me, a dad that cares for me, a dad that loves me unconditionally. Today I receive everything in that inheritance. I receive the peace. I receive the joy. I receive healing. I receive every part that God has for me. I declare I am victorious and triumphant in every situation, at every moment, every day, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give me some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! That's who you are today. Praise God. Why don't you turn around to five people today and say, I am favored of God. How about you? Would you do that? Praise the Lord.